Let's pray again. God, thank you so much that you are here, that your presence is with us and among us. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is here. Thank you so much for the incredible music that was shared with us and that we can come to praise and worship you together. If there's anything left hindering us from hearing from you, we just ask that you take it away, that we may receive from you and be so aware that you are here and you are with us and among us. So here at the well, often we answer questions around the table. So a question for the table this morning is, what is the one thing you really like about yourself, a gift or talent that you have, but that perhaps it's a gift and talent, but also sometimes can be perceived as negative, or maybe sometimes offends people without you even maybe realizing it. An example for me is I'm overall a pretty spontaneous person, and this can be a good thing. It's contributed to a lot of fun last-minute trips that we've taken. My dad's back here. I think I get a lot of that from him. We would decide to go camping after the sun had already gone down and set up camp and have some good time. So spontaneity is a good thing. Then also it can be bad because it keeps me from wanting to commit sometimes, to want to say, yes, I'll do this, or make plans ahead of time. And that can be hurtful and frustrating for friends. So there you go, something that you are good at but sometimes can be maybe offensive. How many of you right now are upset with someone, and how many of you, if you think about it, are more than just a little upset with someone? You're downright mad. And how many of you have someone or someones or group that if you allow yourself to really go there and think about it, your insides twist all up? And you feel your blood pressure beginning to rise because of the pain, the hurt that they have caused you or people that you love. So something God has been revealing to me in my life that is truly changing it. And I have to believe through what I see manifested not only in my life, but my family, friends, and in the world at large, but I'm not alone in this huge issue that I've been learning about in my spiritual journey. Truly, this simple concept and act of allowing blinders to be taken off of this area really will change lives and give space for the Holy Spirit to be heard and to move in our lives. This really hit home, this concept, when my friend Caitlin over here shared with me a quote by Michael W. Smith, who said, "I never want to be offended by anyone, and I want to be a conduit." I never want to be offended by anyone? At first thought, as I was been taking this in, I really didn't recognize or have any awareness to the fact that I indeed was getting offended. I mean, I'm a pretty laid-back person. I thought I get along with people. I don't hold any grudges against them. And then I started being aware of it, and I would scroll through my Facebook page, turn on the news. A patient at work in the ER would yell at me for no apparent reason, and I would take that in. Or there would be a certain friend or family that would irk me, and I didn't really, couldn't put my finger on the reason why. The list goes on and on. God began revealing to me just how much offense had set up camp in my life and was hindering me from fully loving others and receiving love from them. It hit me how incredible it would be to never be offended and to be a conduit. So anyone here just really love pulling hair out of the shower drain? You would. No. I see some gross faces out there, some looks of disgust. I personally loathe pulling hair out of the shower drain. And it's not just me producing it, because I've got my husband over here with his luscious locks. And they, you know, clog up the drain. And thinking about it, offense is kind of like those huge, nasty clumps of hair. And I almost took some hair from the shower this morning and put it in a jar to show you so you could get a visual of how gross offense is and how gross that hair is, but that would just have been a little weird. So offense is like those clumps of hair. You pull out of the bathtub drain, and when it's pulled out, the water can flow. And get this, if you clean the hair out after every single shower, if you get rid of it right away, you don't have to deal with it clogging up the whole system. So really, offense, left undealt with, leads to unforgiveness, which in turn sets up a root of bitterness in our lives. Offense is the upset. That person really irritated or hurt me. Unforgiveness becomes downright mad, angry. I really cannot believe they did that. Bitterness is the point where our physical bodies are affected by what this person has done to us. I could never be in the same room or around them again, and that'd be okay. While each offense, unforgiveness, bitterness deserve time spent on them, this morning I'm focusing on offense, because if we can just learn to stop this stuff and not push the snowball down the hill, then we will save ourselves and others a lot of pain and trouble. The truth is, offense is something we really don't deal with a lot. At least I didn't, because I wasn't aware of it and I didn't think it was a big deal. After all, it's not my fault you offended me. You pulled out in front of me on the road. You did it. You offended me. You need to change the way you drive to make me happy. You need to change to suit me and my preferences. Offense happens when I don't take ownership for how I am responding and reacting to someone or to a group of people. A couple personal little examples here. The joy of being the family of the person up front. My mama, who's here, and one of my best friends, and she did give me permission to share this. She's an incredible woman, but since we are so close, do we offend each other? Of course. At my cousin's wedding over a month ago, when God was really honing in on teaching me about how easily I'm offended and become defensive, we were sitting at the table of the reception. My back was aching. I wasn't feeling good, so I have one of those sour faces on. My mom says something. I didn't even remember what it was. It was an innocent question, but I was irritated. So I gave her a scowling face, roll in my eyes response. That hurt her, offended her. Now, as we later talked, she could have stopped it there with the offense, which we often could, but we don't want to stop it there, or we don't recognize it in time to stop it. So an offense is exchanged for offense, and we start in this little sort of jabbing dance. She turned to me and she said, "You are a mean person." Which, in that time, I was being mean, and that offended me. And I went to open my mouth and say something snarky back when the Holy Spirit reminded me of what I've been learning about. And made me aware that the accuser was at work using offense. So, fortunately, afterwards, my mom and I were able to talk about it and share quickly and completely resolve and 100% get rid of the offense with zero hard feelings left. Now, before I learned all this and even recognized what offense looked like in my personal life, I would have held that in, sulked, exchanged offense for more offense, built up walls between her and I, and perhaps even started believing that I'm in fact a mean person. That's the other point on offense. If we are getting offended, we are not getting our worth in Christ. We are buying into the lies. Part of us believes what the other person is saying could maybe be true. I'm going to say that first part again. If we are getting offended, we are not getting our worth in Christ. Because what others say to us really does not define who we are. Learning that these darts people shoot at us are often symptoms of something going on inside of them at the time helps us to not take it personally. Like, when I'm at work, I'm an ER nurse, someone has bronchitis, they're coughing all around me in my face, or someone has a fever and they're sweating, someone begins vomiting and some of it gets on me. Do I get upset at them or mad at them? No, because I know it's a symptom of an illness they have. So how do we deal with offense? Like an illness, the quicker it's treated, the quicker it's resolved. Another really quick example where it was like a, woohoo, this is working, was actually just a couple days ago. And with my husband, Travis, my incredible husband over here, and he doesn't even know that I'm sharing this because, to tell you the truth, I completely forgot about it because I had let it go until I was up typing this stuff up. So we had met at his mom's house after I got off of work. We were hanging out. It was a great evening. My back was sore. He helped ice it, gave me, like, rub my back. Just quality man over here. And so we're headed. I drive home because I had driven separate, and he was staying there to watch a show to finish one up. I'm in a perfectly good mood when, literally out of the middle of nowhere, this thought, an irritated feeling, hits me. The devil is tricky. He wants us to be mad at each other. So I'm driving when I think, I can't believe he didn't leave when I did. He'd rather watch TV than spend this time with me. How many of you can relate to this? Fill in your own blank after the, I can't believe she or he did this. Can you believe what they did? I just can't believe it. Now here's the good news. When you recognize this stuff, recognize the lie of offense, and this one was totally in my mind, he did absolutely nothing wrong. He loves me, and him staying a little longer does not lessen this love. So I simply said in the car, yes, out loud, and I felt silly, but who cares? I do not believe that lie. I will not be offended. My husband is a good man who loves me. And the offense was gone. Completely gone. This is amazing. This is huge. Because using our out loud mouth to speak against the devil's schemes, because the word of God truly is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, is life-changing. It could have been very different, and it has been very different in stuff like this in our lives. Times where I've said, oh, he didn't take out the trash today, or he left those luscious locks in the drain. There was a time, and I'm sure still will be at times, but we are learning, it's a journey, where I would literally hold on to this small stuff. It would draw a line between my husband and I. Once the line was there, it lays a foundation for a wall to be built, so I wouldn't have let the offense go. Say I wouldn't have taken that moment to use my mouth and speak against offense. and Travis comes home. I'm upset. He can feel it. I attack him either directly or sideways in a passive-aggressive fashion. And this has happened in other scenarios. And the evening is ruined. It squelches the flow of love. How freeing it is to let it go. Our evening was amazing instead of being ruined. And you know what? Even if the other person is, in these two scenarios I gave you, no one was really meaning to hurt each other. It was a symptom of not feeling well, or in the case of Travis, I created this offense in my own mind. Even if the other person is being malicious, that still doesn't mean that it gives us a right to take it into ourselves, to take that garbage in, because it truly does no good. Second Corinthians 2, verse 8 through 11. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love. The reason I wrote you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. If you forgive anyone, I also forgive you. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. And I really like, in the Message version, verse 8 and 11. If all you do is pour on the guilt, you could very well drown him, being the offender, in it. My counsel is to pour on the love. The focus of my letter wasn't on punishing the offender. After all, we don't want to outwittingly give Satan an opening for yet more mischief, because we are not oblivious to his sly ways. And if you were oblivious to this one before, now you're not. When this stuff comes at us, I choose to not be offended. I am releasing all offense now and let it go. Pour love into yourself and pour love into the person. Don't give into the devil's sly ways by staying offended. Some of you, perhaps, may be thinking, what about all the injustice in the world? Shouldn't this offend me? And I would say no. Here's the deal. Offense and true righteous anger are two very different things. Offense is paralyzing. It's in bitterness as well. It stops forward motion, throws up a wall. The fruit of offense draws a line between us and the person or group. It is eye-focused. It causes tunnel vision. Now all I can see when I look at that person or group is what they did to hurt me. And if not dealt with, this can lead to even more unforgiveness and completely block the flow of love. Righteous or holy anger moves and stirs in us to take action, to stand in love for what is good. The fruit is inspiration, forward motion, and it is motivated by love. Righteous anger reacts against the actual sin, not from violation of my preferences or my comfort. Yes, there's an anger towards the injustice, but there is no anger that hinders growth and love. We need to be aware of what we are feeding with our words. Are we feeding the underlying current of hatred, fear, and bitterness? Or are we feeding the current of love, justice, and hope? Ephesians 4:26, in your anger, do not sin. Do not give the devil a foothold. And truly, A statement Mike made last week is so true. In all things, Jesus really is the answer. By fixing our eyes on him, wisdom comes. Love flows. We hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the actions to take. Romans 12, 9 through 21. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans 12, 9 through 21. And it's pretty neat because the verses I'm going to read come right after listing the seven gifts of the body of Christ. And after saying in verse 4, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all function the same, so in Christ we, through many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. If we begin learning our gifts and the gifts of each other, offense is a lot less likely to happen because we understand where we are each coming from. So Romans 12, 9 through 21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil or offense for offense. I added that. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, as far as it depends on me, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. And man, it really seems in between each week's gathering here together, there is a lot of stuff happening in the world. And my hope is that we recognize if bitterness is starting to set up as it's happening, and if it does, that we can ask God to remove any bitterness. And instead, may a righteous anger stir that moves us to action and to love. May we not repay any evil for evil. May we be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. And as far as it depends on us, may we live at peace, not take revenge. Leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. May we trust him. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. And I read some Bible commentaries on the heaping of the burning coals because I used to secretly be like, ha ha, I get to hurt you by being nice to you. But I don't think that goes along with what the rest of it's saying. So I tend to agree with the commentators who say that it was actually saying when an enemy's fire would go out to literally take a heaping amount of coals for them to be able to have a fire. Others say it's a figurative way of referring to the convicting work of the Holy Spirit or a searing of the mind with the truth of God's word. And then verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Will you guys say that verse with me? Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It doesn't matter what so-and-so did, because God didn't give us the gift of others' control. He gave us the spirit of self-control. If we look at Jesus, he did not get offended. I mean, his best friends fell asleep on him, denied him, doubted him, betrayed him with a kiss. He didn't take an offense. And I believe that's because Jesus knew, amongst all the chaos of what was going on, he knew who he was, he knew what he was doing, what his mission was, and knew where he was going. And praise our good Heavenly Father that he is not offended by us. He does not give up on us in our journey. We are humans, and he gets we have bad days. He hears us. He understands us. He lives inside of us, and he loves us. Through the promptings of the Holy Spirit, he renews our minds to be like him. So the moment we begin to feel offense starting to latch, may we deny access to our hearts. The slight taste I've been getting to the awareness of offense in my life and detaching it before it has a chance to fully wrap its tentacles into me, just the beginning of experiencing walking this out in my life has been absolutely freeing. It's like a weight lifted, a drain pipe cleared out, an illness treated quickly to becoming well, a dam let loose to allow the floodgates of God's love in. May we ask ourselves what we are letting in, what we are cuddling up with at night, and what we are allowing to take residence within us. Shepherding our hearts. I do not want to be offended by anyone, and I want to be a conduit. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that you understand us. Thank you that you are not offended by us, and thank you that you give us, through you, we have a spirit of love and joy. And thank you, God, that you continue showing me in my life and each of us in our lives to know the difference between bitterness and true righteous anger from you. Uproot bitterness in our lives and stir what is of you in our spirits. Thank you that you are with each of us as we go throughout our weeks. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.